Hey, this is the Bean Bungers, and you're listening to the Maple Syndrome Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel, she's the bomb.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. This is episode 29, which is crazy that we have 29 episodes under our belt. But this is episode 29 and it's going to be labeled or called. This is part two to our road trip to 350. And this is kind of a special edition, special to us. And it's going to focus on the barbecue that we went to at Jughead's house, John Pearson's house. So I'm here with Kristen. Hey, my friend.
Hey, Jessica. This is funny because we were going to record this right after the barbecue at Jughead's, and we didn't. So now we're recording it a couple weeks later and trying to remember the details. But just hearing you say that sentence, like, this is the episode where we're going to talk about the barbecue at Jughead's house. Like, it just blows my mind.
It kind of feels that way to me, too, because it's like, we went to a barbecue at Jughead's house?
Yeah.
It also feels funny to me because I'm not with you.
I know.
It's...
We recorded a bunch together.
We did. And you know what? For those of you guys that... I don't know, you follow us or you're new to us. Kristen's in Boston, I'm in Whistler. And we had this like amazing 10-day trip together where we did this epic road trip and it was amazing. And we spent so much time together. I keep making jokes because This huge road trip that we did, you were driving and my feet were up on your dashboard, you know, and I drove And then your feet were up on the dashboard. It was like just what we naturally do. And every time I'm in the car, I was a passenger the other day and I put my feet up on the dashboard and I was just like, oh my God, I'm not with Kristen.
Yeah. So last night I had dinner with my gay BFF who's been my best friend for like 20 years now.
Yeah.
And I was telling him, he was asking all the questions about our trip and our time together and stuff. And I was saying how we spent 11 days together and he was like, well, how was it towards the end? Like, did you get sick of each other? Did you? And I was like, no. I was like, I think that's the first time I've ever spent 11 days with anyone and didn't get totally sick of them. And he was like, yeah, and it was a girl.
Right?
Because he knows that, like, all of my friends are guys and that I'm more comfortable with guys. So it was just kind of funny that we spent 11 days together and we had fun every single day. And I didn't get sick of you. And I was so, so sad when you left.
It's really funny. So I haven't really told you about when you dropped me off at the airport. So, we spent our last day in downtown Boston. You showed me some of the sights and we knew it was sort of our last day together. And, you drove me to the airport and on the way to the airport, like as we got closer, we both sort of were getting more and more sad. Like we could both tell. And you dropped me off at, like, the drop-off area, and we said goodbye, and we both started crying, and we hugged each other so much. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go in, I'm going to check in, I'm going to get through security, and I'm going to get on a plane and fall asleep. So we say goodbye to each other, we're both crying, I walk into the airport, and I walk in. And I go to the counter and I check in and there's no problem and I drop off my bag and he goes, your gate's that way, and he points to me. There's probably, I don't know, 90 people in line ahead of me to get through security. And I was crying so hard, literally standing in this line down a hallway with all these people around me, bawling, like ugly cry, ugly cry, like the hyperventilating cry.
Yeah.
And You could tell that the people in front of me and the people behind me, like, everybody knew I was crying. And I could tell they were sort of wanting to comfort me and sort of just, like, having conversation to try and, like, make it seem like I wasn't crying. And I got through security, got into the waiting room. the smallest waiting room in an airport I've ever fucking seen in one of the world's largest airports. Not kidding you.
Weird.
Probably 300 people in a room. There was no stores, no shops, no nothing. It was literally like a cooler with a cash register and then like three gates that you could load in from. And
that's bizarre.
It was so intense and I cried the whole time. And at one point I went to the, so to put it in perspective, like this is, was it Logan International?
Yeah.
In Boston. Mm-hmm. I go to the bathroom. There's like two toilets in the ladies' bathroom. Like that's how small this area was. And I get in there and I was like, I went to the bathroom. I went over to wash my hands. And one of the ladies that had been standing in the security lineup with me was washing her hands at the sink beside me. And I looked at her and I went, well, at least I've stopped crying. And she looked at me and she like put her arms around me and she went, traveling is so difficult, honey. It's okay. And I was like, ah! And I started crying again. It was
hard. Well, and I had to drive and I was crying so hard I couldn't drive and I had to pull over and cry and kind of, cause I couldn't see. So I had to like pull over in some sketchy abandoned lot and kind of bawl my eyes out for a few minutes and then like get myself together and go. But yeah, that was hard. I mean, 11 days, like we really got to know each other really well and got along really well and it was awesome.
And you know, our distance, like, we're on opposite sides of the continent and, you know, time zones and stuff. And we don't know when we will physically be in each other's presence again. And that sucks. That's hard. But
yeah, that's what's hard.
Internet friends are real.
Well, and also we got to escape a little bit. We got to escape from work and our families and our obligations. Like, we had, like, a real vacation. And that never happens with working moms and all the shit we have going on. So to kind of, for me, it was kind of like, oh shit, back to reality a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? And I think you felt that way too. And so it was like, that part of it was hard too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want this vacation to end. I was looking forward to it for so long.
It was really, like, not to sound cliche, but it really was a once in a lifetime trip for a whole bunch of reasons. And I don't know. Maybe we're being too mushy, but I
don't want to think that. I don't want to think that. I want to think
maybe it's a once in a lifetime because it was the first time. Let's say that.
Yeah.
But it was.
Well, we'll never do this trip again. But we'll go to California. We'll go. Who knows where? We'll go do a cruise sometime.
We'll do something.
We'll do punk rock bowling. We have to have we have to treat ourselves. I just put something up on, I can't remember if it was Facebook or Twitter or something, that, you know, spend money on experiences, not things. And I truly believe that. Like, I will save and save and save my money to go on a trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that is so, means so much more to me than objects or things.
It really is.
So
it really is. I mean, I sold some very personal collector's item objects to help me pay for that trip. And you know what? I can one day find that again, but I can't do that trip again. So 110% worth it. And I don't know, like, there's something very unique about meeting somebody online, connecting with them, a girlfriend, like me and you, and spending that time together. And I don't know, it feels like family. Like, I miss your kids.
Mm-hmm.
I miss your kids.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we're very fortunate.
Yeah. Fortunate and unfortunate.
Right.
Part of me is like, fuck you, internet.
Right.
Because I'm meeting cool people that live really far away.
What the fuck? Yeah. Same. I agree.
Why can't they live in my town?
I love your town, by the way. I've told so many people about where you live is probably one of the most favorite places I've ever been.
Oh, wow.
It's just cool.
We should talk about going our last couple days in Boston, actually.
So after we got home from 350, we finished that like epic 2-day road trip back to Boston. I got to spend two full days with Kristen, which was so cool because I got to not only spend time with her family, and just in like your day-to-day life, but I got to do some really cool touristy things with you. And you took me to some really cool spots.
It's so hard to pick and choose, you know? Like, when someone says, like, I have 2 days in your hometown, you're like, well, what do I do, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like I wanted to show you everything, but I wanted to pick and choose kind of what we did. And was it the first day we went to Salem? I can't remember.
No, first day was like, let's run errands with the family day.
Right. Well, I was skipping that because that was a boring day.
Right. And then second day was, it was Salem, Crow's Nest, tarot card readings. It was all of it.
Yeah. No, those were two different days. Wait, were they?
No, dude. It was the same day. It just felt like two epic days.
I thought those were two separate days that we did Gloucester and Rockport.
Right.
And then Salem. But no, that was one day.
So, without getting into too much detail about it, Kristen took me to Gloucester, which is this amazing seaside town, and it's also the setting of the famous movie with George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg, The Perfect Storm. And we decided to do the tourist thing and go to the Crow's Nest bar where, you know, the movie took place. And without getting into too much detail, because I feel like we could do a whole episode based on this exact thing we did.
Yeah, our experience there. Yeah.
We parked, we walked in, it was a square bar around the whole room filled with all these local people. We felt uncomfortable and intimidated. We couldn't find a seat. Two older fishermen men said, here, take our stools. And we sat down and we literally spent like almost 2 hours with all these local people.
Yeah.
And they make
It was really crazy. And I've never been there. It's like 10 minutes from my house. And for some reason, I had never been there. I didn't think it was going to be exactly like the movie. It's like the bar where all the fishermen come back to after they've been at sea. And they go upstairs. There's a hotel upstairs where they shower and change. And I thought about afterwards, they probably get laid.
Totally. Prostitutes. Right?
There's totally got to be hookers. Yeah. That do their thing up there because these guys have been out at sea for months or something, right? And then they go downstairs and get shit-faced at the bar, and it's like everyone buys each other beers. Everyone, the drinks are strong. Everyone knows each other. Like, it's exactly like the movie. So if anyone's wondering, it's one of the rare situations where it's exactly like the movie.
Exactly like the movie. So we met Sal, who's missing most of his fingers. It was his 70th birthday. He was a total gentleman and wonderful and told great stories. And his friend, what was his friend's name?
George.
His friend George. Same kind of thing. Super great. So so there was those two, but also the bartender, she was really great. She makes a real strong drink. So we sat and we chatted with the locals and we had so much fun. But then, just to, like, on a final note-ish about this, was...
Just the cherry on top.
The cherry on top. I went to the bathroom, and on my way back from the bathroom, I saw, like, the digital jukebox. And I was like, I'm going to put in $5 and, you know, see what's there. Okay, so while having this, like, most amazing touristy Gloucester local experience, we had face-to-face... No Effects, Bad Religion, and Van Morrison and Bob Dylan.
On the jukebox.
On the jukebox. And when I found Face to Face and No Effects on the jukebox, it took everything in my power to not, like, scream with excitement that we were in this, like, hole-in-the-wall little bar and that I could play Face to Face and No Effects for myself and for Kristen. And... it was amazing. So much fun. So much fun.
Yeah. That was really fun. So. And then we went to Rockport, which is a little more touristy, like shopping, and we walked around and got ice cream and that kind of stuff. And then that night we went into Salem. I really wanted to take you to Salem because Salem is a really cool place. And I had gone to an art show a few months ago that was held at a Hermetics Art Center, which is basically a real witch owns this shop where she does her witchcraft and she sells her items, and she and her partner, which I don't know if he is a warlock, which I think is a male witch. I think a male witch is a warlock. So I'm not sure if he's a warlock or if he's just her partner that has some abilities or whatever. But anyways, I really want to get in with this Maria chick, because I am not one of these people that really believes in psychics or witchcraft or the bigger spirit sort of stuff. I just, you know, I'm just kind of a skeptic when it comes to all of that, but I just thought it would be a fun touristy thing to do. Like, when in Salem, get your tarot cards read by a witch, right?
Yep.
Like, why the fuck not? So I thought that would be a really fun thing for us to do. And we did with my friend Darcy. We went to this witch's center, and this guy read our tarot cards, and that was really cool.
Yeah, like, without...
I never had an experience like that before.
Without getting into too much detail, like, you know, I'm not religious. I don't have a belief in a higher thing. I believe there's, I don't know, some going on. And I lay in bed at night, and mm-hmm. when I'm super anxious, I just, like, kind of, you know, think in my head to whoever's listening, just, like, give me a boost kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
This tarot card reader for you, for Darcy, and for myself, like, nailed it in a ridiculous amount of ways. If you want to know about it, send us a message and we'll tell you details, because we won't bore the podcast with it. But let's just say that career, life, relationship, family situations, money situations, like, this guy, we each pull our own cards, and he nailed it. And I've never felt like a belief in it like I did that night.
Really? That's awesome. See, I'm still skeptical.
Oh my God, he nailed your shit. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I know. Someone could, like, tell me everything and I'd still be skeptical. I don't know.
Oh man, he got it. He got it. And I must say...
Yeah, and you know what was so funny is that you went after me. So Darcy and I were sitting, we gave each other privacy, right?
Yeah.
So, like, while you're getting your tarot cards read, Darcy and I, like, were on the other side of the shop just kind of talking and hanging out so you could have your privacy and whatnot. And you went after me, and I sat there with Darcy bawling my eyes out mm-hmm. for, like, the 20 or 30 minutes that you were having your cards read, because he just hit on some really, you know, really crazy things for me that... made me emotional. And so yeah, I sat there and, like, cried for, like, 20 minutes while you were getting your cards read.
See, and it's funny because, like, you know, people are thinking, like, oh, you went to Salem, you got your cards read, super touristy, super kitschy. Like, we had to go off the main drag into, like, out of the touristy section, walk down these streets to get to this shop. They don't open their shop to the public every day. It's not a business. They only open their shop when they have classes or readings or that sort of thing. So it's not like just like a shop you can go into every day, 9 to 5. He opened it for us for these readings, and it was just us.
Yeah.
And he had the Rolling Stones playing.
And she is actually, oh yeah.
And the Rolling Stones playing.
And they had wine and all that cool stuff.
Legit. It felt good. So.
Well, yeah, she is a witch with a PhD. I mean, come on. She's a college professor who happens to be a witch and happens to have these powers or these beliefs or these abilities. I don't know exactly what it is, but I mean, you gotta believe a witch with a PhD.
I mean, I walked away from the situation going, like, fuck me, I feel like I should be a witch. I don't believe in a lot of spiritual religious things, but I feel like I could believe in this shit because it seems real. It seems normal. Like nature and the earth.
Well,
and
it's based in, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's hot as hell here.
Based in stuff that makes more sense to me.
I'm sweating.
Do you have underboob sweat right now?
The underboob sweat is ridiculous. Like, I keep taking my tank top and, like, putting it under my boobs to, like, hold the sweat.
Oh, no.
And then, like, letting it go.
Yeah.
It's so hot.
Yeah.
It's so hot.
You know what I was going to tweet the other day? I realized I have to exfoliate under my boobs.
Wait a minute.
To, like, really get... What?
Really?
Yeah, you got to exfoliate that shit. Because that's all where like all the sweat and everything, you know, it hangs out. So like I exfoliate my whole body and I would do a quick thing on my boobs, but I wasn't like fully exfoliating my underboob, and you got to do that.
Oh man. I love you. This is why we're such good friends.
Did you see my tweet about the bidet?
I saw your tweet about the bidet. Did you like?
Okay, I won't go into too much detail, except that, like I said, my gay BFF that I hung out with the other night, he has a new apartment in Boston, and he's like renting it from some Italian dude who put a bidet in the bathroom, and I was like, oh my God, I've never used a bidet. And he just moved in and he was like, I haven't tried it either. And I was like, I want to be the first one to try your bidet. I've never tried it. Have you ever tried one?
Yeah, but I think I did it wrong.
So I just squat over it and he had put the water on and there's like temperature valves. So it's like a bath, so you can have it warmish, whatever. So we got the temperature right, and then he left the room. Obviously, he gave me some privacy. I squatted over the thing, and it would like cleaned everything out, but it also kind of felt good. Just saying. I was like, oh my gosh, so this is crazy.
The thing that confuses me about the bidet concept is A,
yeah,
the shit gets so messy you need to wash it that often. And B, is there like a bidet towel? Like, it feels like you need a specific drying towel. Oh my gosh,
this is funny. Here's the thing. So then I was like really wet down there after. So luckily the roll of toilet paper was right there. So I grab a ton of toilet paper and I'm like sopping everything up, right? So I told my friend at dinner that night, we were talking about my bidet experience. And he's like, I'm going to tell all my girlfriends that come over to use the bidet. And I was like, yeah, but you need to get like a towel or something. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I'll get like a pussy towel.
That's totally it. It's totally it. Because
he's like, I'll hang a pussy towel next to the bidet for when my girlfriends come to visit. And I was like, oh,
it's
my
true. Girlfriends. Because like, you can't, what do you use? Like the seashell hand towel beside the sink?
No, I used a lot of toilet paper.
That's the thing. Like, it, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's all good.
It would have been better. And then I just told him, you know what? Don't get a pussy towel. I will just bring my own towel.
That's the thing. Like, it's all good to want to wash it that often, but you need to provide a drying system, too.
Right.
Right.
It needs, like, a hand blower. Like, yeah.
Oh, fun.
Anyways, that was my bidet experience.
I like it. Okay.
I plan to try it again.
We are like half an hour into this podcast. We haven't even got to like the main topic.
God. Okay.
I hope people are still listening.
We can tell people to skip ahead
to like minute 39.
They want to actually hear about the punk rock part.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we ended off our last podcast with waking up the day after 350 Fest, Kristen asking for late checkout, and,
Super hungover.
You were super hungover.
Super hungover. Okay, and then you made me hang in the lobby with Tina and Trevor. Yeah,
that was...
When it was 12:30, well, by that time it was like 1 o'clock. I hadn't had coffee yet, so I was getting a migraine. I was sweating from being hungover. I thought I was going to puke. And Jessica runs into Tina and Trevor and starts talking to them, and I'm just like, oh my God. Oh my God, can we please just go? I need Dunkin' Donuts so bad. Can we please just go? But I didn't want to interfere because it was so cool what you were doing with them.
It's funny because, like,
I don't know if you want to talk about it.
There's this thing with me and you that, like, we're very different in a lot of ways, right? Like, we run differently in a lot of ways. And there's, like, parts of Kristen, there's parts of you that I'm like, I got to know you better on this trip. So it was like, while we were sitting with Tina and Trevor doing what we were doing, and like in my head, I was thinking, Kristen's probably ready to go. Kristen probably wants to leave. Kristen probably needs a coffee. Like, it was in my head. And I could tell that you were like humoring me until you get to a point and you're like, so we need to go, Jess. Like, I love how you just like, you have zero qualms about being like, dude, shut the fuck up. Let's go get coffee. It's the best
but
part.
But that was after at least a half an hour.
See, you humor me for a very significant amount of time before you're like, all right, Jess, reel it in. It's amazing. That's amazing.
I was like, okay, we gotta go. So, yeah, Trevor was letting you just see a certain project that they have coming up, and he was giving you a little bit of scoop on that. So we won't go into that, because we are going to go into that at another time. But it did make us late for Junkhead's house, too, because we did have to go to Dunk's to get me something to eat and a coffee, or else I would have hurled everywhere at Junkhead's house, and that would have been bad. So, but we get this text from our friend. We're driving, and there's really bad traffic, and we get this text that, like, hey, where are you? Like, it's starting. And we're like, well, we're coming. We're on our way. Like, don't hold, you know, like, what's the big deal? And she's like, they're waiting to put on the performance until you guys get there. And we were like, what the fuck? Like, never, I didn't think in a million years they would hold the performance for us. So I was like, yeah, we're a little late. We're hungover, whatever. We'll get there when we get there. But apparently they were waiting for us, which just kind of blew my mind too. But we said, no, please, we're stuck in traffic. Like, please start the show. Yeah. So it was like it was awesome of Jughead. He just kind of opened his house and had his friends that, you know, his friends that are performers, like Dan Bappett and Dr. Frank, and then the Even in Blackouts people were all there. And they had, he had these performers, but he also had a ton of food, and he was barbecuing for everyone and provided drinks and all this stuff. So it was like a party barbecue / musical performance in his living room. And it was definitely, I mean, right now, probably my top musical experience of my life, I would say. I can't think of, I mean, I was going to say top five, but I can't even think of any others that even come close to it. Like, it was so amazing.
So for those of you that might not know when we're referring to Jughead, John Jughead Pearson, one of the original members from Screeching Weasel, who's also been part of numerous amazing punk rock bands, plus solo work. He's a writer, he's a podcaster. We had him on one of our earlier episodes, so check that out. But it was essentially like this little charity fundraiser that he coordinated two shows. This was the second one. A lunchtime barbecue, open house type of thing. You had to buy a ticket to go, but we all just sat on the floor in his living room. They had some lights set up, and they did performances. Even in Blackouts, the band Even in Blackouts. Dan Vapid did some solo stuff, and Dr. Frank. So Dan Vapid is from Chicago, but he's been parts of Screeching Weasel, the Riverdales, the Methadones, the Queers, the Mopes, and he does solo stuff with Dan Vapid and the Cheats. And Dr. Frank is the founding, longest-running member from the band Mr. T Experience. So we got to see these, like, phenomenal acoustic shows from all of these guys. And Even in Blackouts is a band that's from quite a while ago, but it's been recently introduced to me in the last couple of years. And they have a singer, and her name is Liz. And I just want to be this lady. She's like, she has one of the most powerful voices, and she's one of the most humble people. And I strongly, strongly, strongly suggest that if you do not know the band Even in Blackouts, go on Spotify, go on YouTube, go online and check out their stuff, because they're really a phenomenal little band. And I just adore them. So.
Yeah. And they have a couple albums out, and they're actually recording another album in Boston right now. So they're going to have new material out, which is really exciting. Yeah.
And I will say too, like, Liz Eldridge, who is the singer for Even in Blackouts, they all sing, but she is the female voice. And she has one of the most powerful voices I've ever heard in my entire life. And she is not trained. She's not a musician. She's not in the spotlight. She literally just does Even in Blackouts with these guys who are, they're all friends, and it will blow you away. It will blow you away, her voice. So getting to see them do this stuff in front of us was pretty incredible.
Yeah. And for Jughead to get these guys together, I mean, they've all had complicated histories together. So, I mean, most people know that Jughead and Ben Weasel are the two founding members of Screeching Weasel, but it was tumultuous.
Yeah.
at best. I mean, it was in and out, and there were difficulties, and Jughead talks about it on our podcast, and he's been very open about it publicly, that they've had their ins and outs in the band. Even if you look at the history of the band and how many breakups they've had and how many people have separated from Ben Weasel and then kind of come back and given him another chance, and then they get fucked over again, they leave again.
Just like, Google it. Go to the Wikipedia page, and you will see the, like, 10-mile-long list.
The ins and outs of all these people.
Yeah.
But even with Jughead and Vapid, too, I mean, there's a little bit of tense history there because there was a point at which Ben started up Screeching Weasel again without Jughead, and Vapid decided to join, and I think Jughead was upset about that. There's all this rich punk rock history in Jughead's living room, and just the fact that most people, with the exception, I think, of Ben Weasel, can kind of put all that shit behind them. I mean, these are guys that grew up in the Gilman Street days. Yeah. Like, Gilman Street is so intriguing to me. Like, I just wish I could transport myself and spend one day at Gilman Street. Like, it's so intriguing, the fact that the guys, like, lived there and played there, and just, like, the whole politics of everything that went down there. Like, it's just super intriguing to me. And I don't know. So I guess it was meaningful to me, too, to see, like, this rich history of punk rock and people putting aside, people growing as humans and putting aside different shit they've been through together. I mean, these are like families as opposed to friendships. Yep. These are like families that go, like, you take a time out from your family member because they fucking piss you off or they wrong you somehow, but you always come back together. And that's how this made me feel, like these guys are family. And Jughead, you know, this was a charity thing, for his charity, the Punk Rock Heart, which we're going to talk about, but he also paid, you know, some money for his friends for their travel expenses and things like that. Like, he's always looking out for these guys. I just think Jughead's one of the nicest guys in the biz.
He seems like, he is, like, all our interactions with him, you know, we've had this conversation before on the podcast where it's like, you know, don't meet your heroes, don't meet your idols. I fucking listen to Screeching Weasel and albums that Jughead played on. And same with Mr. T experience with Dr. Frank, like, in my bedroom as a teenager through best days, worst days, heartbreaks, like, you name it, mixtapes, and then to meet them, you know, two of the fucking coolest, nicest, most genuine dudes, and you know, I will meet one shitty idol and take that hit, you know, just to meet one good one, because these guys are the kind of guys that make you just be like, I don't know, there's something about the music we love that's part of us, and when you meet the people behind it and they're genuinely good people, it makes you fucking love the music even more. Like, it makes you feel good for what you believe in. Does that make sense?
Of course. Yeah, so. And, you know, one of my favorite parts of what they did at this barbecue or at this performance, too, was that they gave time for question and answer, but then also the artist would explain a little bit about what the song was about. Yeah. So my favorite was Dr. Frank talking about his songs. And obviously, I mean, Mr. T Experience is known for their, like, songs about girls. Like, that's what they write about.
Yeah.
But what, I forget what it was. I think he was like, this song is about a girl who punched me in the face once, and, like, I mean, it was just really funny, like, it was really cool, and yeah, it's made me listen to Mr. T Experience a lot recently, just, like, hearing him sing those acoustically, and how amazing he still sounds, and tell about your experience with him, your little embarrassing encounter.
So, like,
you have
through Mabel Syndrome, we've got to meet, you know, a lot of the musicians that we've always really liked, and you know, we've made friends with people and things like that. And so I don't really get, like, starstruck anymore. A little bit nervous, obviously, but I don't really get starstruck.
Yeah.
So it kind of caught me off guard that I was this starstruck. So meeting Dr. Frank from Mr. T, he played these songs, and I, you know, typical Jessica cries through numerous punk rock songs, but
yeah, you cried a lot.
I did. And, you know,
you're sitting in Jughead's living room just crying while these artists are performing.
And
no, it was the best thing ever. I mean, that's what music is supposed to do.
It does. I can't help it. And So, you know, walking through Jughead's kitchen and Dr. Frank's walking one way and I'm walking the other and I like, hey, so could I get a picture with you and your music? I like, it's nostalgic and your voice. And he was so nice. He was like, yeah, thanks. And it's great that you're here. And I was like, I love your music and I listen to you sing when I'm in the shower all the time. And he was like, he didn't know how to respond. And I was like, yep, I listen to your music while I'm showering all the time. And I was like, as it came out of my mouth, I thought, shut the fuck Duska. And he was so nice. And I got my picture taken with him and stuff. And I walked outside.
What did he say? Because I didn't see it. Was he just like, oh, cool?
He made a joke about how there was a shower in the house.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like he made a joke about how there was a shower in the house. Like, and it was sort of like a, ha-ha, you can get in the shower here if you want. Like, that kind of joke. And I was so, it was so... I felt like such an asshole. I walked outside and, you know, said to the couple of the friends we were with, I was like, I just made the biggest asshole of myself. Like, and I don't feel like that a whole lot anymore. And man, oh man, do I feel like I made an asshole of myself in front of him. Hi, nice to meet you. I love your music. I listened to you in the shower. Like, fuck. God, Jessica. So, but he was great.
That was very cute.
So we got to see Dan Vapid perform, Dr. Frank perform, and even in blackouts. And before we run too long on time, we should talk a little bit about the punk heart, which Jughead kind of created with a friend of his. And he wrote the words for the punk rock heart. It's on Facebook, the punk heart. It's there's a website, the punk heart, and it's this sort of, I don't know how would we explain it. Like, he says the punk...
It's his definition. I would say it's like a poetic definition of what a punk is, or what punk rock is.
Like, we, you know, who we are as these, like, people, this group of people. And you have to check it out, but the punk heart is inherently wounded, is kind of, you know... the concept for it. And you can go on to the punk heart on Facebook and online and hear the definition. They sell t-shirts, they sold a box set. The design, the logo is really incredible. And I think that I would be, you know, it wouldn't be wrong to say that every single one of our listeners would connect with the punk heart concept. Mm-hmm. And so the fundraiser, you know, the ticket sales and the merch that they sold at his house was for a mental health charity, a mental health society in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know much more about that, but I do know that the proceeds were going to a mental health organization.
Yeah.
And that he felt that that was fitting and appropriate. And I agree.
Yeah.
Those organizations need more money, so.
Yeah. So I want to stress to everybody, find the punk heart on Facebook. Maybe we'll post it on social media again. It's on a further back, Instagram post of ours, I think. But, I know that when I read it, it just was like, holy fuck. Yeah, that's it. That's like, it just resonated with me so much. That's me.
It felt like that's me.
Yeah. And then you add the music on top of it and it just feels right. So go check it out. Everybody go check that out. The punk heart.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk... What else can we say about it? Is there more we want to say about it? Do we sum it up in a decent way? It feels like such a huge experience. It feels impossible to sum up.
It was. There are pictures and some videos, I think, on either our Facebook or our Instagram, or we should put more up there if they're not. We should probably do a blog post about it, too, with, like, videos.
Yes.
And put in pictures and stuff to like really let people know what that day was like. Like it was just mind blowing. So I wish, yeah.
There were a few other musicians there. I know we've mentioned Jughead. We've mentioned Liz. We've mentioned Dan Vapid, but there were, a couple other musicians there. So, John Szymanski is the bass guitar player for Even in Blackouts. And, he has lots of his own stuff going on. You can find it online, find him online, John Szymanski, but he's part of Even in Blackouts. Super nice guy, super talented musician. And then Scott Conway, who his nickname is Gubb, Scott Gubb Conway, mm-hmm. Who is also...
He was so sweet. So I really liked meeting him. Yeah.
He's a past member of Screeching Weasel, but he also plays with Even in Blackouts. And again, another amazingly humble, great to talk to, talented musician. So,
yeah. And I wanted to mention that Dan Vapid, because we're both moms and a lot of our followers are parents and stuff, Dan Vapid currently has two volumes of, he calls it a punk rock album that happens to be PG rated. And it's called All Wound Up Volume 1 and then All Wound Up Volume 2. Oh, no, Volume 2 is in the works. That's what it is. But yeah, it's like a family-friendly, PG-rated punk rock album, he calls it.
Songs he wrote for his son.
Definitely check that out. Yeah.
So,
which is really cool. He sang a couple of those, too.
He did. Green Means Go, I think maybe was the song.
Yep.
So,
you're right.
So we want you to check out Even in Blackouts. We want you to check out the Punk Heart on Facebook. Check out Dan Vapid's two albums, the kids' albums. And then also Scott Gubb Conway and John Szymanski and Dr. Frank. Because
and we love Simon Lamb was the one that played with Vapid.
Right. Simon Lamb was one of the musicians that played with Vapid at the barbecue. So
Anyways, that sums up 350 Road Trip
Part 2. I mean, I feel like we could do like a million episodes based on 350.
We could do part 10, I know.
And we will say we recorded another part to this podcast, but it was based all around food we ate at 350, and we recorded it in the car after like 14 hours of driving. We were delirious. We were hysterical. We were exhausted. I think it's like some of the best material we've ever recorded.
Maybe it should be like a bonus episode.
Maybe it'll be a bonus episode when we take a hiatus between season 1 and season 2.
I think that's a good idea.
Fuck, I laugh
I'll see
so
what I
hard.
Can salvage out of it. We're pretty fucking hilarious on
Yeah. Maybe we should just release it not under the Mabel Syndrome name. We should just release it under a totally different, like, punk rock food.
Ladies who love to eat.
Ladies who love to stuff their faces episode. So,
yeah.
I just want to say a big shout out to everybody that was involved in this weekend. We had some really amazing experiences with amazing people, with amazing musicians. And it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. And I feel very fortunate to have these friends that I love so much, you know, and that love me back, and to experience this stuff. In the musical realm, you know, with music that we love so much. So I just feel super fortunate that I got to do this. And honestly, had Kristen not been one of the big, my biggest cheerleader to get on an airplane and get down there and do this trip, it wouldn't have happened. So I'm thankful, and you're awesome.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, I'm glad you did it. 'Cause it would have been like a smidgen of the fun without you. Like, it just, you know, you made the whole thing for me. So I'm glad that you came, and I'm glad we got along after 11 days.
Right?
That we still like each other. We're still it's amazing.
Good
friends. It's a miracle.
I miss you even
more. I've never liked a girl this long.
I know. Long time. This is so, a big girl.
Anyways, thanks guys for and thank you guys for listening. And again, if check out our Instagram and our Facebook. And if you would leave a rating for us on iTunes, that would help us out a lot. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we're going to leave you with a song.
Yes.
Which one you were going to choose?
We're going to end this episode with an Even in Blackouts song. It is a cover of Screeching Weasel that Even in Blackouts did. It's the song Every Night, originally recorded by Screeching Weasel, covered by Even in Blackouts, and it's a super emotional, nostalgic punk rock song for me. And then when you do this version with Even in Blackouts, Liz's voice just, it's intense and it's piercing. And I love her. And I want to say a shout out to Mark Zappia, who is a big fan of Mabel Syndrome and a big supporter. Mark Zappia is the one that introduced me to Evening Blackouts. So I feel like a big part of that experience at Jughead's is kind of because of him, because I wouldn't have even known and I wouldn't have been there had I not been introduced to Evening Blackouts. So I just want to say a shout out to him.
Isn't that cool when a friend is like, you should check out this band, and then you really love
right?
the band.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
That happened, and I'm super thankful for it. So I just want to end on that.
Cool.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
To have